At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omar Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining AGT on our first quarter 2015 conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of AGT Food & Ingredients, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaytan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I'd just like to remind everybody that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors, and assumptions, as well as a reconciliation to IFRS measures, we direct you to our news release, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. With that, I'd like to turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions. Murad?
Thanks, Omar. Welcome to everyone on the call. This quarter continues to demonstrate the foundation for growth we've established for AGT, a foundation we're very proud of. We've reported positive results that we feel leverage our unique global assets and the management expertise and initiatives with regards to our business to grow it, diversify it, and make it operate more efficiently as customer and sales demand for our pulses, ingredients, and other products grows. Our legacy business of pulses and grains has again reported good results, and we're seeing the measured and positive advancement of our food ingredient platform, as well as growth in our retail packaged foods business. We see positive growth in margins and significant tons moved through our system globally. We have a number of expansions and production process enhancements underway, and some expected to be completed and starting to contribute to our business later in 2015 and into 2016. As well, we have some exciting new acquisitions in loading and transportation that we expect to create opportunity for our AGT operations in Canada. I'd like to go over some of these opportunities that we're excited about in our business, as well as take some questions. But first, I'm going to ask Lori Ireland, our CFO, to discuss some of the highlights from the quarter. Lori?
Thanks, Murad. Hello. AGT reported adjusted EBITDA of 22.6 million for the quarter ended March 31st, 2015, a 33% increase from 17.1 million for the same quarter in 2014. Trailing 12-month adjusted EBITDA was 92.5 million, an increase of 46% when comparing to 63.5 million for the trailing 12 months ended March 31st, 2014. AGT's adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per ton improved when comparing the three months ended March 31st, 2014, to the three months ended March 31st, 2015, from 79.89 and 44.17 per ton up to 90.46 and 53.28 per ton. Pulses and grain processing and food ingredients and packaged foods continue to be a focus for AGT. These two segments both demonstrated adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per ton improvements in the quarter ended March 31st, 2015, compared to the same quarter last year. Pulses and grain processing contributed adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per ton of 76.03 and 56.28 for the quarter ended March 31st, 2015. This was an improvement from the same period in 2014. However, we're slightly lower from the quarter ended December 31st, 2014, due to sales of 2014 crop with quality issues and resulting lower margins that trailed into the first quarter. Food ingredients and packaged foods contributed adjusted gross profit and adjusted EBITDA per ton of 189.92 and 116.88 for the quarter ended March 31st, 2015, compared to 159.71 and 105.01 for the quarter ended March 31st, 2014. This is due to increased volumes as well as stronger margins on sales. Accounts receivable days outstanding decreased from the same quarter last year down to 44 days from 48 days last year. Inventory days outstanding increased due to higher average inventory levels relating to pre-sold stocks for the United Nations and food aid programs being held in Turkey, as well as ramp-up of core products at our AGT Quick facility. The total accounts receivable and inventory days outstanding for the quarter ended March 31st, 2015, was 132 days. Non-cash foreign exchange includes a snapshot of outstanding foreign-denominated accounts receivable and accounts payable, as well as outstanding foreign exchange contracts, and includes the contract relating to high-yield bonds. Note this is a non-cash item and will fluctuate depending on the strength or weakness of foreign currencies when compared to the Canadian dollar. This amounted to an expense of $8.2 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, which has been excluded from adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share calculations. AGT has a treasury process in place to ensure the need to purchase foreign currencies to settle debt will be minimized if it will result in cash losses on foreign exchange. General and administrative and marketing sales and distribution expenses for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015 increased over the prior year but decreased compared to the 3 months ended December 31, 2014. This is due largely to one-time adjustments such as severance obligations, legal fees, and other one-time costs that were included in the 3 months ended December 31, 2014 but did not affect the quarter ended March 2015. As a percentage of revenue, however, this number is slightly lower for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, compared to the same period in the prior year as well as in the prior quarter. Finance expense increased over the prior quarter due mainly to a couple of factors. First, the prior quarter included a reduction to the fair value adjustment of AGT's derivative liabilities, which made that quarter lower in comparison. Secondly, the current quarter includes costs associated with the cross-currency swap on the high-yield bond interest. These amounts are recorded in both unrealized foreign exchange and in finance expense throughout the life of the contract. As a result, the total has no impact on adjusted EBITDA. In addition, AGT utilizes various trade finance instruments, and the costs associated with these instruments are also recorded in finance expense. On a normalized basis, finance expense is in the range of $6.5 to $7.5 million per quarter when considering interest on bank indebtedness, long-term debt, bond interest, and the various finance instruments. AGT tracks adjusted earnings per share as it's reported exclusive of non-cash foreign exchange effects of our global business, whether that means a gain or a loss, because management feels that inclusion of both gains and losses that result from snapshot non-cash IFRS effects do not accurately reflect the cash flow generating ability of our business. Adjusted earnings per share improved to 43 cents and 42 cents fully diluted for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, compared to 16 cents and 16 cents fully diluted for the same period last year. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. As is usual this time of year, Global Pulse's markets look forward to seeding of what may be a significant crop in North America based on reported seeding intentions from producers and statistics agencies. Farmers are out in the field, and reports are that seeding progress is moving well. Of course, seeding intentions can change right up to the last minute before farmers get out of the field. But we are optimistic that farmers have again chosen pulses to be a very significant part of their growing rotation. There are certainly things that can happen with regard to production throughout the growing season, but with normal conditions, we expect stocks produced to be well positioned in the post-harvest period for shipment both within our legacy segment for milling and value-added processing in our North American facilities, as well as to supply raw materials to our operations in Turkey, India, and to our customers around the globe. As well, these stocks would supply our ingredient business with raw materials to be milled for protein, fiber, flours, and starch. Production of pulses at the levels being reported are important for AGT's business, as reported export statistics show that Canada has exported a lot of pulses in late 2014 and the first quarter of 15, reducing stock levels to minimal amounts. To maintain the programs and exports at similar levels, product is needed as importers appear to have returned to buying at traditional periods. We expect this shortfall to be very short term in duration, very short term in impact, and certainly rectified with what we project could be an early harvest. We expect import levels to key consumption regions like Turkey, Middle East, North Africa, and India, and the Indian subcontinent to continue as harvest of domestic products in these key consumption and distribution markets appear low or average at best due to a variety of reasons, including weather and production decreases. This is a positive indicator on the future performance of AGT's legacy segments. Before discussing opportunities that we expect to benefit our pulse and grain segment, I'd like to talk a bit about food ingredients and packaged foods. This segment is certainly performing as we would expect, with steady and measured growth. We are pleased with the selection of our commercialization partners, both Ingredion in the global human food ingredient sector, and Cargill in the North American protein to pet food and feed ingredient sector. Customers are continuing their reaction, which is positive, to our products as their own application research programs are completed. We're seeing test quantities being converted to sales quantities, and this is a trend that we expect to continue. As a result of this, volumes and margins are increasing as we expect, and this certainly was a driver for the expansions we announced in quarter four for Minot, with a deflavoring and treatment process, as well as the infrastructure to give us additional expansion options as this business unit grows in the manner that we forecasted. It's been a part of our strategy from the beginning of AGT to test the waters first, something we did in a big way with our ingredients platform. Give ourselves the options for expansion as we see success and growth in the business. A very staged and managed approach. Expansions and installations of the enhancement lines are moving as planned, and we expect them to be completed with commercial production in 2015. The availability of added capacity and ingredients is an important point to customers when we speak with them. These are new ingredients for them in some cases. They need assurance that they're not going to have supply chain issues should they embrace the ingredient. They need to count on the supply. AGT's scope and scale certainty is certainly a point of differentiation and comfort for them as they see we have options to expand and guarantee supply for their programs. Our retail packaged foods business globally is gaining momentum as we are seeing the synergy between our origination and production, packaging and distribution systems for packaged and canned pulses, pasta, and other retail packaged foods. AGT is certainly making inroads into global retailers as they look for diversified vendors who can manage a global supply chain for a number of products, packaged and ready to sell for retail, to and from markets around the globe. Pasta expansions in Turkey are underway. We're adding a vermicelli nest and lasagna production line, and we're expecting that to be operational by the end of the second quarter of 2015. This continues to give us abilities to expand and complement the current lines of Arbella Pasta, and we'll continue to be looking at a mix of both our branded sales as well as co-packing for retailers as we expand our presence with global retailers around the world. We expect both of these units within this segment, food ingredients and packaged foods, to continue to grow and increase in terms of contribution to our earnings. I'd like to speak a bit on AGT's offer to purchase the assets of West Central Road and Rail and Prairie Processing that includes five producer and bulk loading sites and a processing facility in Eston, Saskatchewan. This is a tuck-in acquisition that's a key part of the growth plan for both our pulses business in Canada, Turkey, and India, as well as for our durum wheat for our pasta business in Turkey. As lentil production has decreased in Turkey and regional supply opportunities have increased, supply of raw material from Canada to Turkey has been an important part of our business. Currently, capacity from our value-added facilities is being used for these bulk loading programs. Capacity we feel may be better utilized in their intended use, that being bagged, value-added, and containerized products for shipment. The ability to originate and load bulk quantities of lentils and durum wheat, as well as other grains and products, and then use available and efficient modes of transportation is an important advantage for AGT. This allows the best use of available transportation options, including a multimodal transport strategy, including rail, intermodal, truck, containers, bulk vessels, and other modes in an efficient manner to ensure we're able to move our products to markets. Turkey is a big destination for lentils. India is a big destination for lentils. India number one, Turkey number two. This fits very well into the strategy of AGT. Currently, Turkey is Canada's fifth largest destination for durum wheat. This also plays well into our strategy. AGT has origination strength in Canada and the ability to extend our origination options to supply both lentils and durum wheat to ourselves and also to other customers in Turkey and India. This allows us to capitalize on sales opportunities as well as boost the capacity in our facilities in Canada and Turkey as we move forward. We expect pulse production in Canada to continue at the levels we're currently seeing and even expand. This turnkey acquisition provides an efficient way to augment our capacity and deal with capacity constraints that we're facing in peak shipping windows. Assuming completion of the transaction, we expect this acquisition to play an important role in our post-harvest 2015 programs, with shipments that positively affect our pulse and grain segment and our pasta business unit in the coming periods. Before we go to questions, there's a lot of positive things happening at AGT in our business. Positives we expect to continue as our business matures, our business strengthens, and I do credit this to a very focused strategic and management initiative over the past periods. We defined a strategy, we stayed the course in difficult periods. We're now starting to see the benefits of that strategy. We have a significant and unique global asset base that allows us the opportunity to develop our strength in origination, processing, and distribution to maximize the opportunities ahead of us. Our new business lines, such as our food ingredients and our retail packaged foods, are expected to support these initiatives and provide diversification for our business as well. Our legacy segment is performing well. Viewed in a complete picture, we're pleased with how our strategy is being implemented by our management team. We feel it will continue to deliver earnings growth to our shareholders and opportunity and value for our stakeholders and our employees. I thank you for your interest in AGT Foods. Omar, I'll open it up for some Q&A.
Thank you, Murad. Operator, we'll go to the first question.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. Our first question today comes from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. Can you give us a sense of how much incremental fixed costs or SG&A are required for line 3 and then for 4 and 5?
Yeah. You know, Mark, certainly I think what we're going to see is we're going to see an opportunity as we ramp up line 3 and then go into a line 4 and 5, you know, as we continue to ramp this thing up in 15-16. The incremental fixed costs are very, very minimal. So, you know, you will have a very strong contribution to earnings. So when we look at that differential of, you know, adjusted gross profit of, Lori, what was the figure, 189 or something in the segment, food ingredients?
Yeah, it was 189. Yeah.
189, and then a conversion to 117, you know, with that fixed cost, you know, being significantly lower in the third and fourth and fifth lines, we should see an ability, Mark, to have a better conversion of adjusted gross profit to EBITDA per ton.
Yeah, okay, great.
I think we will see, margin improvements. And this is, you know, literally economies of scale. I mean, we don't have a whole new lab. We would have, you know, additional scientists. We don't have, you know, a whole new, you know, operating system. You may just be heating a larger building or, you know, you'll add an incremental shift or incremental people to a shift, not a whole new production shift. So with that, I think the ramp up of costs is going to certainly be much lower, and we hope that the earnings will substantially outpace that. I think that there will be an earnings improvement story as we ramp up capacity.
Okay, great. And then just shifting gears to legacy, talk in the news over the past few days around this El Nino weather event. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how that could impact the supply-demand picture as we move into the new crop season.
Well, we're certainly seeing, continued abnormal weather patterns, in particular in the Indian subcontinent region, Australia. Actually, the El Nino pattern has kind of led to, you know, probably good seasonal rains. In fact, areas where, flooding and other areas have been, you know, excessive moisture. But I think in general, Mark, what we're going to be seeing is, you know, production in the Middle East, North Africa region is actually average to below average. So we're seeing, you know, dryness in particular in the wheat sector, pulses as well. So, you know, you're not going to have a huge crop there, and regional consumption is going higher, you know, as a result of refugee crisis in Syria, Iraq, and regional instability. Indian subcontinent, you know, I really do believe that, production is down dramatically, you know, over last year. Quality was affected. And with a big crop going in Canada and an early crop going in Canada, we may have the opportunity to exceed what was last year a record export pace. And so, every year we exceed the export pace of the year prior because supply was available. Now, what we're seeing right now is with tight supplies, this is a function of success. Let's not forget that we were sitting a year and a half ago or 2 years ago with 500,000 to 800,000 tons of carryout stock, margins under pressure as a result of overstocking. Today, we're not in that position. I think the El Nino weather effects and that volatility and unpredictability or the change in pattern is going to bode well for demand going forward.
Okay, that's it for me.
The next question comes from John Chu of AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, John.
A couple of questions here. So just wondering on lines 4 and 5, is it similar to when you're looking at expanding 2 and 3 that you want to see about a third of the production volumes being committed before moving forward, or what brings you to looking at those lines?
Well, I mean, first step is we have to build the building, so we're just in the process now of final design. So, line 3 is went through all of the commercial testing at the end of the first quarter. We're into commercial production now on line 3. John, what I would expect is that if we follow a similar pattern of, 5 to 7 months of time to ramp up that line, that'll take us towards the end of this year, which is around the construction end period. As you start to get, this momentum of ramping a line and adding the next line and ramping that, you get a lot more confidence on your ability to build the next one. Because a lot of what's driving the additional demand will be incremental or, expansion of business with existing clients. So when a client adopts an ingredient and they launch a product or launch a suite of products, it's sales growth that drives that volume. So I think that, I can't necessarily say that the same decision pattern will take place. It might actually be easier to decide on line 4 and 5 because I think that momentum, will be moving in the right direction. We'll have much more clear visibility because clients would have not only tested but adopted, they're buying quantities and they're expanding. So it gives you a lot more confidence that that's what I would call sticky revenue or, more sticky earnings. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. So, our focus right now is get line 3 ramped right up, build that deflavoring line, get the buildings in place, and then it gives us an ability again with 90 days or 120 days to ramp the next lines. That's where we're focused.
And then just on line 3, I was under the impression that previously it was a Q3, Q4 where it would be fully ramped up. Now that it seems to be late calendar 2015, is it just a function of waiting for the demand to be there to ramp up? Or
I think you probably just made an assumption on Q3, Q4. I mean, we always said in every line case it's been 5 to 6 months to get it ramped up. So it was, operational pretty much end of March, early April. So if we take 5 to 6 months out, we're into third and fourth quarter. That's pretty much what I just said.
Okay, and then just lastly, with the West Central acquisition, there was some talk in one of the local papers about eventually the company looking at maybe a pasta facility. Can you just clarify what the long-term view is for something like that?
We're a value-added durum wheat miller. We're becoming a major pasta exporter in the world. The major source of durum wheat is in Canada. Right now, we're focused on originating that durum, supplying our Canadian plant or our Turkish plants. When those plants are at full utilization, because we built a new semolina plant 3 years ago that still is only about 50% utilized, we'll look at additional capacity in pasta production, potentially in a region not in Turkey. And it would be logical that we could look at a North American build. That being said, John, to be very absolutely clear, that is not imminently coming. We have a long way to go to ramp up the utilization of the new line we just installed. We have capacity to add another 10 to 12 tons per hour. And so if we look at that on a annual scale, if we take 11 tons per hour, multiplied by the number of days of our production, we have another almost 80,000 tons of pasta capacity we can add in Turkey before we get to full utilization. That's a lot of retail packages. So I've got about 175 million packages to sell before I worry about Canada.
Okay, that's great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Anup Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just three quick ones. First of all, what was capacity utilization on the processing side in Q1?
About 75%.
Yeah, we were running about globally about 75, 76, Anup, probably 85, 86% in Canada. So the Canadian utilization, again, continues to be very high. Seasonally, Australia started to ramp up because their crop came, in the first part of the year. And, so that would be about where we were running. So we were down a bit from last quarter. As you can see, the total tons were down a bit. But the Canadian utilization continued to run quite high.
And for Q1, what was utilization on lines 1 and 2 at Minot?
We would have been, getting at that would be the incremental tons you saw, Anup, on the tons in the food ingredient segment is incremental ramp up of the second line. So I would consider, it was at full utilization and we started even producing, test per commercial quantities on line 3 in the end of the first quarter. So you can consider those lines running at utilization now, first line 1 and 2.
The full utilization on both those?
Yep.
Okay, and then lastly, can you give us a bit of detail on Prairie Processing? What sort of capacity do they have, and what sort of capabilities do they have?
So Prairie Processing is a facility that was built in 2011. It is a canary seed processing factory, and it's actually set up as, I would say, one of the best designed canary seed factories in the world. It actually can clean right to a 99.9% purity. And, it's very important as we look at phytosanitary rules, in particular in Mexico and South America, Anup. We're excited about that area because, three main crops in that area are durum wheat, lentils, and canary seed. So when you couple that plant with our other, efforts, what we're planning to do with West Central in general is take business that was already being done, some of the business is already being done in some of our processing plants, move it into this new infrastructure, and then it gives us the opportunity to resell, higher quality and good opportunity business in the world through our fine processing plants. So, we had a volume of canary seed going out of some of our plants, and that started when we were trying to fill back when capacity utilization was very low back in 2011 and 12. Well, now it's still good business, Anup, just not as good as some of the other business we do. We now will have a dedicated canary seed processing plant year-round. I think it's going to be a very good opportunity for us.
I understand how you...
Capacity would be probably in the range of around...
330,000 right now.
No, but I'm talking about... he's talking about Prairie Processing itself. Be around...
25.
Yeah, it'd be around, say, 40,000 tons of capacity.
But I understand how West Central fits into your strategic plan. I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard you talking about buying a dedicated canary seed facility. I mean, canary seed is not really part of your core business.
Yeah, it was a package, Anup. It's all owned by common shareholders.
Oh, I see.
They're all located in one spot. They're all run out of the same staff, the same origination. So don't consider it as two acquisitions. It was two transactions because of the difference in some of the shareholders, but it was all a package deal with the West Central deal. In fact, the transactions were actually linked as concurrent transactions in the asset purchase agreement.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question today comes from Sean Pratt of The Western Producer. Please go ahead.
Hi, Murad. Previously, you had talked about Regina being the next location for the food ingredient side of the business. What happened? Why is Minot getting the next plant and not Regina?
Well, Sean, you know what? Regina, we are looking at expansions. And we're looking at opportunities related to our pulses and our packaged food and food ingredient business still. The decision was just made that with the infrastructure that was already developed in Minot, that if we were doing the same processing, which was really more potential protein, starch, and fiber extraction, that it made sense to do it at the same spot. So it was kind of related to the question that Mark Robinson from Cormark asked earlier. The incremental fixed costs of adding a line 4 and 5 in Minot was judged to be significantly lower than that of a greenfield build here. But, you know, certainly Saskatchewan producers can be assured that, you know, Regina remains a major processing location for us. We have two plants here now, and we are looking at, you know, both, presence expansions in terms of our head office presence, but also additional processing infrastructure here, you know, related to our Pulses platform. So it's not getting left out. It's likely going to be focusing a bit more on our packaged food business, so canning, retail packing, and expansions of our chickpea and bean business.
The next question comes from Stephen O'Tyre, a private investor. Please go ahead.
I think that's me. It's Stephen Ottridge, by the way.
Yes, Stephen.
Yeah. Quick question. Are you making, or do you have other people making from your product, any pasta made from lentil flour?
Yeah, Stephen, there's certainly a number of products that have been launched out in both the U.S. and Canada that are using lentil flour now. So there actually is, I believe there's a product that's now in Loblaws under their President's Choice brand that is a red lentil pasta. And then I believe that General Mills has also launched a new pasta, and I believe it's available in Canada, but it's available in the U.S. for sure. And it's also a gluten-free red lentil pasta. And in addition, Barilla, the largest pasta company in the world, has a brand called Barilla Plus, which is made with lentil flour and pea and chickpea flour, as well as flaxseed and other types of products. So, you know, the pasta market is certainly one where we see, you know, very strong opportunity for both gluten-free pasta, but also pasta in combination with durum wheat into what we would call a complete amino acid profile, high protein, high fiber pasta that tastes good. So it's certainly an initiative that our laboratory in Saskatoon is working on. We actually have in our lab in Saskatoon a pilot semolina production and pilot pasta extrusion. So our scientists are working quite hard on, you know, looking at pulse inclusion in pasta as one of the futures for AGT.
Okay, good. And one other thing, you said that Turkey, your pasta production facility is only 75% used. Do you, in fact,
I actually said our global assets, our pasta platform was 98% utilized last quarter.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood then. So
yeah, that was just our global platform of all the assets in the world. But the Turkish pasta is running at full utilization.
The next question comes from Steve Hansen of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's actually Dan Chu filling in for Steve today. Just a quick question here. Just wondering what the split between human food and pet food is currently on the ingredients business. I'm just wondering how you expect that mix to shift as you guys ramp production on lines 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, Dan, I don't think I have an exact figure for you, but it's probably around 65-35. And, you know, certainly I would expect as we go to line 4 and line 5, that will go to probably 60-40 and the balance on human food. So that's our goal as we continue to ramp up the platform. Human food will certainly take a larger, part of this business as we continue to ramp up the human food platform.
That's helpful. Thank you. And then just maybe one more just quickly on the balance sheet. We're just wondering if you guys might be able to give us a sense for your current debt targets and how much debt you might expect to repay during the balance of the year. I know there's a lot of moving parts here with the proposed acquisition and expansions in Minot, but any additional color would be very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the net debt to EBITDA side, you know, we're down around that 3.5 or something now. You know, if you look at the leverage profile a year ago, we were probably at 5.5. So, you know, it's funny, obviously, not funny, but, positive what, you know, really good, strong earnings will do to your leverage profile. You know, we expect that earnings are going to continue to ramp up. We'll use a bit of debt to conclude the West Central Road and Rail transaction. And so, you know, the capital program that will be deployed will also generate earnings. So I think what we'll see is probably fairly consistent, you know, leverage profile. Probably, you know, our target would be to get that ramp down to that 3-to-1 or slightly below.
Yeah, I think we might see it blip up a bit in quarter two due to the acquisition, and then start leveling off again and decreasing.
Yeah, so you know, we're taking free cash flow. We're going to pay our dividend. We're going to maintain our CapEx. We're going to do a little bit of managed growth CapEx, and we're going to reduce debt. That's where we're going to continue as we ramp this earnings profile up, you know, over that $100 million in the future, and keep on rolling along.
That's great. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from John Chu of AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just quickly, on the West Central acquisition, how long were you looking for that? Did they approach you or you approach them? And does the capability that they have, is that sufficient to do what you think you can do, or do you think you might need to add more similar assets to that?
Yeah, in terms of the time discussions, you know, been going on for a number of weeks. And, you know, for us, John, we wanted to make sure that our assets in Canada were going to be running at that consistent utilization for, you know, multiple months, and that we felt that there, again, there was this concept of clear visibility on utilization and sales. It's what we're all about. We're not going to build it and then figure out, or buy it and figure out how to fill it later. I think the one attractive part of West Central is they have a very large book of business that they did themselves. You know, so if you look at their public disclosures, because they were a reporting issuer because they have 1,800 or so farmers that owned the shares of that company. They did roughly around 300,000 tons last year through their system. So, you know, that was attractive to us. Solid farmer support in the region, you know, good infrastructure, you know, relatively new infrastructure, and a very capable and competent staff base. You know, this is a turnkey. We use the word turnkey in our disclosures. That was the attractive side of this. Our focus will be, just like on everything else now, John, ramp this up before we start looking for the next asset. So, you know, certainly there's a lot of room to grow this West Central platform into something much bigger than it is today.
Thank you, Murat. That brings us to the end of our questions in this session. I'd like to thank you all for joining us on our conference call. I'd also like to remind everyone that's still on the call that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, thank you for attending our conference call, and I wish you all a good day.